I'm Grace Eubank.
And I'm Ryan Beck.
We are married.
So now we're putting our marriage to the test with a podcast.
This is Falling in Love with My Wife.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm sleepy, man.
I know you're sleepy. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a shorty.
Oh, I'm a shorty.
We're going to have a shorty podcast for you and for our listeners. Everyone's got things to do today, okay? We're busy people.
You know what? I had an incredibly busy day today with work, and every single person I like met with or had to do something, I was like, every time I'm always like, how are you doing? And everyone's like, whew, so busy. And it's just every single person is having like a tough time right now, I think.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's having an easy time.
Yeah.
But we make our problems in our mind.
I know, it's true. But there's also other people cause us problems.
I know. But there's this thing I read. There's like, you know, stop thinking, solve your problems.
Right.
And for some problems, that works. You got an interpersonal problem? Don't think about that person. Done. It's over.
That thing you read, by the way, is what?
The Tao Te Ching.
Yeah.
It's by Lao Tzu. It's a.
I don't think you've mentioned it this hour, so I thought you might.
Oh, stop it. Sorry, I have to.
Sorry, you're so enlightened.
Well, I'm trying to be, you know.
I know, I'm just
I'm always on a journey of self-improvement. As much as this podcast is about our relationship, it is about my personal journey of self-improvement. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, thank you so much for signing me up, without my knowledge, to the Wirecutter Cleaning newsletter.
It was by accident.
Well, I keep getting the emails.
Do you like it? Or are you being
I'm completely being sarcastic because I just got an email that says, the best microfiber cleaning cloths.
Okay, get rid of it.
And guess what? I don't understand how. You know, I've always wanted to know what the best microfiber cleaning cloths were.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Now that I have this, I'm actually like, oh, what's the best microfiber? And now I'm wanting to buy cloths.
Okay, you gotta unsubscribe. Here's what happened. You have a New York Times subscription. I was looking at some Wirecutter stuff through your account, and they had a pop-up. This was like a month ago or something, and it was like 7 days to like uncluttered.
And that was pretty helpful.
And I clicked it, thinking like it will be a web page, article.
No.
And it automatically was like, okay, we will give you an email every day for 7 days.
Right.
About how to
which
do
I
this.
Which I forwarded to you diligently.
Yeah.
Now, I know people, their ears are burning. They got to know. What's the best microfiber cloth according to Wirecutter? It's on Amazon.
Is it the yellow one?
No, those are good too.
Is it the red one?
Stop it. Let me explain. It's something called Fix Smith microfiber cleaning cloth. It's a $5 from Amazon, and you get a pack of 8, which is a real bang for your microfiber buck.
That's true.
So that's the answer. But you know I love Wirecutter. I love ranks. I love lists. I love product reviews.
I know. Me too. I really do.
But now it's like, do I need to know the best cloth? You know, do I need to know all this? Probably not.
I've been unsubscribing like a storm lately.
I've been trying to get you to do that for years.
I do, but like I've been like really unsubscribing to things I like.
My inbox is as neat as can be.
I know, it's kind of gross.
This is a lot of emails for me. I can't stress how many emails I have. 9 in my inbox.
I wonder how many I have.
It's thousands.
It's tens of thousands.
But you like search through, and that's how you like sift through. And it's the same way you have like piles around the house.
If it's out of sight, it's out of mind, so I need them there.
I have 9 emails in my inbox, and I am about to label the 9th right now.
Oh boy. See, the problem with that for me is like when you like put them in folders and labels sometimes. Like, what if they have multiple, and then it's like, oh, those labels change. It's just too much.
You can label multiple. You can use multiple labels on one email.
I know, but, like, it becomes too much, and then it's like, oh, how many labels do I actually want to put on this? Is this a 4-star email? Is this a 5-star email?
I don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't do that. But I'll say this. If you have 2 things that it could be, how are you going to search for it? through your through your pile.
Well, I mean, it might be like a personal thing. Would it go in like the Ryan? I know you can do multiple, but it's like, would it go in the Ryan folder and also the home folder? Because it has a love note along with a product recommendation from Wirecutter.
Here's what I got. You know? I have things like, I have, for a long time, I sent your mom the crossword. Mm-hmm. So I have a folder full of crosswords that I've sent to your mom. Mm-hmm. And then now anything time she emails me, it goes into this Annette's crossword pile.
But what if it's folder. Not about crossword?
It doesn't matter. It's just called that. Any email I go for your mom is automatically labeled when it comes into me.
Wow.
I have the same thing set up for my parents. I have the same thing set up for certain comedy clubs that I've emailed several times.
Mm-hmm. Do I have a folder?
You have a folder. Jerry has a folder. Jerry's school has a folder.
Jerry doesn't email you. He doesn't have an email address. Yeah, but there are
things pertaining to Jerry. I see. I have things for medical documents.
But it automatically, you know what automatically
You can
goes.
Set up filters.
So how do you know if it's Jerry related?
What do you mean? Any email that I've gotten in reference about Jerry stuff, I've labeled Jerry.
You
stuff.
Label it. I'm you talking can, about you the can auto. Do,
well, some of them are auto, some of okay. them are manual. All
right.
But it's not that hard to, you just have to, you, I started doing this immediately upon getting an email address.
Yeah, and I didn't.
So how do you fix it when you're already under the gun and you're tens of thousands deep?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how to do that.
Yeah.
I've always been this way. Some people call it type A. I call it being a winner.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever you got to do, you know?
What type am I?
I don't think I'm a type A. I don't know. I don't really understand how there's a type A and B. And
I think there are definitely, like, type A's and definitely type B's, but I don't think it's only those.
I think people are more than binary pockets.
Right.
I don't get it.
I just didn't know if, like, you perceived me as one or the other.
I don't think of those.
You alright?
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I don't think in those terms.
I know, but I didn't know if, like, you remember how I thought I wasn't, I had in my head that I was not competitive, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're extremely competitive.
So I didn't know if, like, maybe I was type A or something and just didn't know it.
No, I mean, you have deep-seated anxiety but you don't multitask.
I like to plan.
Yeah, but you don't multitask and just get to it in the same way that I do. So I think I skew more the A type than you do, for sure.
I don't think, no, but like type A is more, maybe the I don't really understand. Listeners can correct us if we're wrong, but I thought type A was like planning, not very spontaneous, like...
I thought it was like anal.
Like super organized, need things to be a certain way. I mean, I could look it up.
I can look it up right now.
Yeah, what's type A?
What is type A? It's going to give me like blood.
What blood type are you?
I'm type O.
Nice.
O positive.
I'm A positive.
Yes, you are.
Influence on my community.
Hey, type A personality is a pattern of behavior and personality traits that can include, colon, positive traits, self-control, motivation, and competitiveness.
Are you just listening? Are you just looking at the little blurb? Because the positive traits are going, it's...
What are you saying?
Never mind. Go ahead.
I'm letting the AI tell me what it is.
Yeah, but it's like saying positive traits are these, and these.
Other traits, drive, logic, and a focus on results, ambition, anger, competitiveness, perfectionism, and time urgency. Complete tasks and tendencies to be more direct, self-advocacy, goal-oriented mindset, and resilience. I have a lot of that.
Yeah, you might be kind of type A.
I'm sure, but like, that's how you should be. You should believe in yourself and have goals and stuff.
That's a very type A thing to say.
But you have, if resilient, you know, what's type B personality? If it's not resilient, it's like, well, get off your pot. Easygoing, relaxed, and flexible. That's type B.
I think if we had to each be one, I think you would be A and I would be B.
B is creative, stressed. I don't know. This is confusing to me.
But see, yeah,
I can be stressed and relaxed. Outgoing, B, B is outgoing, energetic, and fast-paced individuals who like to be around people and generally enjoy being the center of attention. Are there C's and D's?
Yeah, I think
I'm not getting into all this right now.
You're an A and a B, and I'm like a R or something.
I don't know.
I think I'm an R.
There's too many. This is the thing that's wrong. This is why I don't think in these terms, is when you have these little buckets, it's like, yeah, everybody is sometimes outgoing.
Right.
How many factors determine whether you're outgoing?
Yeah, there's like a handful of people that are always outgoing.
Great. Good for them.
Yeah.
Mine is I have to have enough food in my belly.
I know. You just need a banana.
And I need some coffee. Mm-hmm. And I need to feel comfortable or incredibly uncomfortable. One or the other.
Yeah.
If I'm just having a regular time or maybe I'm a little sleepy, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Hey, are you allowed to talk about what you did this week?
I don't think I signed anything. I can't say too much because I'm not even trying to like get in trouble. But I did.
I think what you could say is that you did some background acting.
Yeah,
work.
So I was like messing around on the backstage or actors access where I'll do my audition. I have an audition to do it, by the way, where I submit myself to roles and stuff for projects. And I saw this one that was like a really big movie. It actually doesn't even have a title, so it's like I couldn't explain it anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's like set in the 1960s. It's a really big time movie with a really big time movie star, DM for Deeds. anyway, I had to like get costume from the 60s. Nobody believed my costume was from the 60s. I was catching stuff. Like the costume department was upset with me, and I was like, I didn't pick these out. You guys did.
Yeah.
Somebody else in your department did. Anyway. But I did some background acting in a very large movie. So I just sat around and watched movie stars and director do stuff.
Okay, the story I want you to get to is that during a break, you fell asleep under a tree.
I fell asleep under a tree, yeah. So it was in a park, and I fell asleep. There was a break after lunch. I was really tired. I got up at 3 in the morning, and I leaned against a tree after I'd eaten this very large piece of salmon. And
nothing like a tree nap after some salmon.
I leaned against
a tree. Salmon nap under the tree.
I leaned against a tree and I fell asleep. I didn't mean to. I closed my eyes and I nodded off. Mm-hmm. And I got woken up by a PA that was like, psst, hey, psst, psst, hey. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Did we start? Where do we go? And they're like, it's not a big deal. Just go back over there. And I was like, okay. I'm really sorry. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, I'm bummed I fell asleep against a tree, but whatever, I got a little nap. It was great. And then there's 100, 150, 100, 200 background actors. Big C, okay? They're all weird.
They're all complainers.
They're all huge complainers and are basically just trying to drag out the production so they could get various meal penalties and bonuses on their paychecks and stuff. And it made me think that when I'm directing a movie that has this many background actors, I will absolutely, like, beforehand know exactly the one angle that I want and I'll be like, goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay them extra. And 150 something people all making what I made for that day, this is the most amount of money. But the movie is such a large budget movie that's all accounted for. They don't care.
Right.
They don't care. And also we got out at 5:30 PM. It's like, how could we have possibly ran into any penalties?
Can you please get to the story?
So, the story is I fell asleep against a tree. There's lots and lots of background actors walking past me sleeping while they get to return to their spots. And one guy at the end of the day comes up to me and is like, hey, I just wanted to say I saw you sleeping against that tree. And has anyone ever told you you look like Bradley Cooper? And I was like, yeah, sometimes that I get that. And he was like, oh, man, when I saw you against that tree, I was like, wow, Bradley's in this movie too? Take that for as a compliment. And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, he's a well-documented, attractive person.
I know. I think he was like the sexiest man alive one year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just like saw it in your face. Like,
what,
just,
that like, I look
the,
like
the People magazine cover. You really do look like him.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, Jerry thought that when Bradley Cooper had the prosthetics on from Maestro, that he thought it was a photo of me.
Yeah.
So Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein is me.
Stein?
I don't know.
Now I'm confused.
I don't know. So, yeah, this guy saw me sleeping against a tree and thought I was Bradley Cooper. So not only did he think Bradley Cooper was in this movie and we hadn't seen him all day, but that he was, in fact, sleeping against a tree.
And at one point during your shoot day, some paparazzi came to shoot the big time star who was going to be in it. And I was joking that like we were going to find an article had big time star and also Bradley Cooper
sleeping against under a tree. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So I did this little acting job. I didn't think anything of it. I made a decent check. I'm probably never going to do background acting again. But I definitely wanted to see what this all was about. And I got an interesting story experience about it.
You're also helping someone write his Father of the Bride speech.
Oh, yeah. The van wasn't there to take us back to the parking lot. And I had to get into the city for a spot at the Comedy Cellar. And I needed to get back, so I took an Uber from like the holding cell or the holding area for all the
holding cell,
whatever it's called, the holding area for all the actors. I needed to get back to the parking lot, which was like 8 minutes away, but it was like
you shared an Uber back.
I shared an Uber, but if you ever looked on Google Maps where it says like it's an 8 minute drive, and then you look at walking directions and it's like an hour 46 minutes, and you're like, what is this?
Yeah,
what is this? So I got an Uber to the parking lot, and I just asked a couple of the background actors, like, do you guys need a ride to the parking lot? And they're like, no. And I was like, yeah, come on. And he goes, come in. So the guy comes in. There's two guys. They're asking me why I'm getting a car. And I was like, I have to get to a comedy show. And I shouldn't have told them I'm a comedian. One guy's trying to get me to tell me jokes. The other guy tells me, like, hey, you're public speaker, can I tell you my daughter is getting married soon, can I tell you about what I think I should have in my speech? And I was like, sure. And he goes, my soon-to-be son-in-law told me that he would like to marry my daughter, and all I could say was good job. And I was like, that's really fun. And then just talk about how you love your daughter. And he's like, okay, yeah, okay. And he's like really unsure of himself. I think English is a second language, whatever. I didn't think much of it. And then like 2 minutes later, we get out of the car and I'm getting in my car and he's like across the parking lot and he turns back to me and goes, Ryan? And I go, yeah. And he goes, hey, would you be able to help me write my speech for my daughter's wedding? And I was like, yeah, all right, sure. Like, what am I going to say? No, and then drive my car away? Not a chance. I'm not that guy. I couldn't do that.
I love that you're about to write.
I'm about to write.
Father of the Bride speech.
Yeah.
For a stranger,
which he was describing was going to be a huge wedding for, like, a bunch of Hispanic people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how my jokes land, I guess.
Can't wait. I love it.
Yeah, so I'll help this guy out, sure. Yeah. But really all I'm going to tell him is to speak from the heart, because you and I both know from many of our wedding experiences, don't drag it out, don't try to be funny if you're not funny, and just say something nice about your family.
There is nothing worse than being at a wedding and you seeing someone pull out like multiple single spaced pages.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh boy.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Or like one thing I'll tell you off air that I'm remembering now, but
just in case, yeah.
Yeah, but then there's another, there's just like, don't go over the top. Don't try to be doing too much. Keep it short. Keep it sweet.
Yeah.
You're going to easily get laughs because people want to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing people don't understand about public speaking, if I may say so, is that the audience is never rooting against you.
Yeah, they want
to. Nobody wants to have a bad time and nobody wants it to be uncomfortable.
Right.
If you don't bring that to the table, it won't be there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start to flounder or feel nervous, other people get nervous. And then they get uncomfortable and they start to feel bad and whatever else. And it's hard to recover.
Yeah, people want you to do well. They're there to have a good time.
And that's true of open mic comedy, professional comedy, wedding speeches, a regular speech at work, a presentation at work. You know, if you can watch your coworker give a sweaty armpit, shaky hand presentation over something, you're going to be feeling bad for them and not paying attention to the thing, and it's going to be weird for everybody.
Sweaty armpit presentation.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what I did this past little while.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I mostly wanted to talk about Bradley Cooper under the tree.
Yeah, I look like this movie star. I hope I can have a career as well. I mean, I told you I got my tow truck guy. Did I mention that on the podcast?
No. What?
When I was in the tow, so we had to get the car towed again, and when I was in the tow truck, he goes, "Why are you in New York City? You have a weird phone number." And I was like, "Oh, entertainment." And
you didn't tell me this story.
Oh, I didn't?
No.
I told, well, and he's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah." You know, I told him I'm a comedian and whatever else, and he's like, "Yeah, that's great. I've done a little bit too. I make picture cars." And I was like, "Cool." I was like, "What is a picture car?" And then I realized what he's talking about. He makes and rents out cars for movies and old style cars.
Oh,
you know when you see like a bunch of old cars then in a movie? This guy operates those and like rents those out in addition to his tow truck driver business. And then he goes on and he's like, "Yeah, I was in Law and Order and I was in this show and I was in this show and they also used my car in this." But he's also like an extra in like in this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking like, how, like, New York City is so wild to where I've been a professional comedian for how long in this city, and I'm doing okay, and my tow truck driver has more professional credits than me. So,
yeah.
And like, the car's broken, and I'm like, what is going on, you know?
Right.
It was just really, so, yeah, the tow truck driver had more credits than me.
Hilarious.
But he was really nice. I got his number. And you better believe that I've, like, locked in this information if I ever need an old car.
Of course.
So Sergio hooked me up for sure.
Nice.
Gosh, I was going to say something about our... I wanted to bring up something for us to talk about, but I can't remember what it is after the microfiber towels and our descent into my probably NDA breaking...
I don't think we gave any information.
No, I don't.
We'll tell everybody in 1 year what it was.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't even think it's a movie that I'm going to end up seeing.
Hey, we had our 9-year anniversary.
Yeah.
We did nothing because we were not in the same place at the same time.
No.
And then it was also our 10-year anniversary of our first date.
Yeah, minus the year that we were broken up.
Well, yeah, 9 years of reconciliation.
Yes.
10 years since our first date.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, the time that this podcast comes out, we will be becoming homeowners.
Oh my gosh.
That's cool.
That's so scary and cool.
It's scary and cool, but it's time to get out of this place. It's like the universe is forcing us out.
Yeah, the universe is absolutely pushing us out.
Yeah.
Andy's going to do readings for us, and we're going to get her on the pod.
I'd love that.
So we're going to get that on there. Hi, Andy.
I think we need some... connection to the astral plane in the podcast.
Get some cosmos going.
Yeah.
Not the drink. Well, maybe.
We could have the cosmos. We could have that.
The margarita, lost margarita episode.
Oh yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. We listened back and we were like, this is not even making sense for us.
Yeah, for those that don't know, one time we each had like one or two margaritas and then
no,
we're
it was like four.
No, it wasn't.
We tied it on. Do you know how incoherent that was?
I know, but we had the margaritas and then we recorded the podcast. And while it was happening, we were like, this is gold. And then we went back and listened.
It didn't even sound like a conversation.
It wasn't funny at all. Like, it was.
No, it wasn't funny.
It wasn't interesting.
No.
It wasn't coherent.
It was.
And not like slurring by any means.
No, but I would say something, and then you would say something different, and then I would say something that had nothing to do with the previous two sentences, and we're like, what happened here?
I know, and people have asked, like, you should publish it, it'll be hilarious. And it's like, it's actually not even funny. It's just
lost.
Like uncomfortable.
It's absolutely lost.
Yeah.
Lost for the ages. So. Oh, there was something I was going to say, and now here we are almost 25 minutes in, and our short episode is a regular episode.
Well, when you think about it, write it down and we'll talk about it next time.
Okay, sure. And can I also just, one thing about the moving?
Mm-hmm.
You've been trying to eat through our pantry.
Sure have.
And I've, you know, making meals with what we have in the house.
Yeah.
And we should have been doing this a while ago. We've come up with some really great...
I know.
...meal situations.
I mean, we talked about this last time.
This...
Cream of cheese.
The cream of cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, right. We did talk about this last time. See, this is how tired I am.
I know, but I did come up with, like, a very cool... I think since the last episode came out, I came out with a cool cream of cheese.
Was this the chicken mush?
Yeah, it looks so unappetizing.
It doesn't look great left over, but it was really nice. It was like a deconstructed taco situation.
It was rice, it was beans, it was peppers, it was corn, it was cheese, it was...
Spices?
Spices, of course. I did like ground turkey with like nice and spicy.
Was it chicken or turkey?
It was turk.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it was pretty good. So that was nice.
You kept saying, this rocks.
It did rock.
This rocks.
It does rock.
It's better than okay.
Well, I always try to tell you when I like the food that you cook because I believe it is nice.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it when I get praise.
Yeah.
Like on my outfit today.
You looked very cool. Did you keep your beret on?
For most of the day, and then I took it off and I didn't bother to put it back on.
Did you get beret insecure?
No, it was just, like, I'm kind of rushing, and I don't want to, like, take the time to, like, dig my beret back out
mm-hmm.
and put it on.
Yeah, those notoriously take a very long time to put on your head.
No, but I was, like, en route, you know. I was, like, walking through the city. The Isle of Manhattan.
I argued with Verizon today. Mm-hmm. I did a bunch of that.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. Would really shock me if I ever called a company, ever,
mm-hmm.
and someone said, hello?
Yeah.
No. You got to call. You got to be on the phone. You got to click buttons.
Terrible.
I'm so tired.
Terrible stuff.
I'm so tired. I also applied to a bunch of jobs. I will say this. I've applied to a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs. Things I'm qualified for, some things I would be interested in doing, and some things I would be interested in the paycheck, right? To keep the art afloat. You do what's necessary, especially with this pending mortgage. But my God, Grace, when you were looking for a job,
mm-hmm.
you applied to a lot of things, but not even close to the amount that I have applied.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so tired of clicking things about myself. Are you authorized to work in the United States? Yes. Are you going to need sponsorship to work? No. Or do you have a disability? No. Are you a male or a female? Male.
Yeah, there's a lot to click.
You have to click so much. And I've gotten no hits at all. I'm like, maybe I should be a Hispanic female for this application.
You never know.
Let me just click around. I have a disability and I'm an Eskimo.
Mm-hmm.
And just roll the dice. Let's see what happens this time.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting so nothing that I'm just so tired of clicking things about myself and that, like, disclosure thing and inputting my various jobs into all these stupid workday accounts and whatever else because nothing's uniform.
I know. That's what's so brutal.
It's like everybody wants you to have their own little account to send this and that. And it's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care to do this anymore. One place, I got all the way through the application. I was going to click. It was a job that pays, like, not like half of what I would want. And then they asked you to take an assessment. And I was like, fuck this. And I just X'd it right out. I was like, I'm not doing this.
Absolutely.
I'm not doing this fake work. I'm not doing this free nonsense. Yeah. And I don't even want this job done for.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Out of here.
No.
So.
Yeah. No can do.
Tomorrow's a big day for us. But also, I'm so tired and this has taken so long that I'm not even excited.
I know. I'm more nervous.
I'm not nervous at all. I'm just bored.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to be done.
Yeah, I'm kind of more stressed. Like, okay, let's just get through this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I love you.
I love you too. Let's drink some water.
Drink some water and try to be excited about these new life exchange. I think that's what we have to do.
All right. That sounds good.
We'll just stop thinking.
Okay.
And solve our problems.
Perfect.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.